Australia is facing a housing crisis, even as the National Disability Insurance Scheme is rolled out across the nation. But developments with smart technology is now enabling people who have a disability to live more independently. Innovative design is giving people greater access to products and information. Dr. Philippa Kahn-Moller is an Australian industrial designer who develops accessible environments. She spoke to Wire reporter Jake Morecambe about how technology empowers people.
One of the people who were involved in my study for my PhD had a spinal injury. So it was an adult, a tall man, so it was quite heavy. It was very, very difficult for him to get to the bathroom. He lived in a terrace house, very difficult to get to the bathroom. He was exhausted by the time that he'd kind of looked after himself. His wife wasn't able to carry him up the stairs. He hadn't realised how much home modifications were actually going to change his life. He said to me, "Philippa, if I had known how much this would have meant, I would have pushed for these changes earlier," because the bathroom was on the same level, but it was further away from his bedroom. And so he was able to get government-subsidised, or he applied for government-subsidised home modifications so that the bathroom was attached to his bedroom on the ground level. And he said to me, the outcomes of that small change, that redesigning of the downstairs of their house, has totally taken the pressure off his wife and his daughters to help him get around the house and to look after himself in the morning. But not only that, he went from never having gone to the movies since his accident, which had been, I think, 3 years prior, to being able to having the energy and the state of mind to want to go out. So he'd go to the movies. And he said for the first time in years, he and his wife have been able to experience those social events. And that's because of a change at home. So it's quite interesting how a change in the home can affect a change outside the home. In my PhD work, I looked specifically at changes to the bathroom, including ramps, including handrails, so very much physical changes to the built environment. As well as those physical changes, what's the digital space in the built environment, and how can that impact how people live and how people engage with space and how people are able to receive care or be more independent, because they kind of they work kind of interdependently, I think.
And what are some of those digital aspects?
For people receiving very high levels of care, it might be the way that service is provided. So looking at care people or support people that are actually mobilised with devices so that we can know who's providing care at any point in time. Someone might know that you haven't opened the fridge in 3 days, for example, and that's out of character. Or it might be knowing that someone at 3 o'clock in the morning has gone into the bathroom, and a support person being aware, not actually having to be in the bathroom with them, but knowing that they're in there, and that if there might be sensitive pads on the floor that know if they fall. What about someone who, for example, might be living with early onset dementia? They're living totally independently in the sense that they haven't got anyone living with them, but they're starting to experience some of the symptoms that we might expect. There's a lot of apps on phones that can help remind them on different stages of daily tasks so that they might, if they're having trouble remembering, that type of data monitoring where we know if someone hasn't opened the fridge or if they've been in the bathroom too long. It's all around that same tension of looking at design, built environment and human rights. How can we enable people to make the choices they want to do, to live the way they want to live and the way that we expect to live in full health? For a lot of older people, it's about not wanting to go into a residential institution, into an aged care facility. And it's quite interesting, the bathroom is where what can often tip people over into an aged care facility, because people will lose confidence in the bathroom. They'll feel unable to safely wash themselves, for example, or to move around the bathroom. To get on and off the toilet, believe it or not, requires a lot of balance, kind of ability, and also strength in the legs and the knees. And the surfaces in a bathroom are very hard. So when you do fall, that's when injuries can happen. But also going from inside to outside. Think of how people live during the day. The clothesline tends to be out the back in the back garden. There might be a driveway or a carport out the front. Being able to wash and dry your clothes safely, those stairs, out the back of the house to the laundry became critical. And I found that in a lot of cases they tended to be a bit ramshackle and run down. So that was one that they were quite important home modifications to do, to provide a safe, supported way to get out into the back garden.
You mentioned a government subsidy. What exactly is this subsidy?
Home modifications are subsidised under the government. it's shifted a little bit. It comes under my age, depending on whether you're a younger person with a disability or whether you're an older person. There's that kind of the NDIA for younger people with disability, and then there's my aged care. But at the time of my PhD, every person who was included in my research actually was eligible for government subsidised home modifications. One of the problems, though, that I saw certainly was that the wait list people were experiencing. And unfortunately, when someone is very frail and older, or when someone's living with a disability, you really need those changes to be made as promptly as possible. And the longer you delay it, the more difficult it is, or people's health further declines.
Dr. Philippa Kahn-Muller, ending that report by Jake Morecambe.